So this is one of the little channels that I follow on Instagram, and it's called Live from Snack Time. And sometimes some of the quotes from these kids are hilarious. So this one was from three-year-old Eddie, and he said, "You're an adult, so you drink coffee and cry." Yes, especially when I have no creamer for my coffee. That definitely ensues tears. I love this one. "How was your day, Mom? Is teenager for I need something that costs money?" That is a fact. If you have a teenager, you know that that is no cap right there. Okay, I'm using teenager words. "As soon as you say, my child would never, here they come, nevering like they have never, nevered before." So for all you young moms, hold tight to this right here, okay? "My mom is the boss and my dad helps her." That's from six-year-old Anonymous. That is Jedi level wisdom right there, okay? "I have a headache. I need to sleep and watch movies." From two-year-old Emma. Yes, Emma. Yes. I feel that in my soul. Okay. "I know it's not a person, but I love my bed." Absolutely. Me too. Especially when my hubby is in it. I love my bed even more. "Have a donut. It will make all of your allergies and tears go away." I agree. Who needs Zyrtec? Just have a donut. Okay. "I love how teenagers jump between being a kid and being an adult depending on their mood. One minute, my son," especially Noah, I think this is more of him, "Mommy, can you make me a grilled cheese sandwich and bring me my favorite blanket?" And then the next, he's like, "I have $146 in my bank account. I don't need you or anyone else." That is children. That is teenagers. I think that's all the ones we had. So that's the little quotes that I love from Mother's Day that I hope you can either relate to or brought you a little laugh this morning. So this morning for Mother's Day, as you know, we are in our series on truth. And when I was thinking about this message, I really felt like what I wanted to talk about today is truth the lens of your perspective? We talk a lot about perspective in life and how we see things and all that kind of stuff. But is truth the lens of your perspective? Let's take a moment and see what is the definition of perspective. A mental view or outlook, the capacity to view things in relative importance. Keyword there, relative. Okay. Perspective refers to a particular point of view or way of looking at something. It can be subjective and influenced by a variety of factors, such as personal beliefs, experiences, and biases. Two people can have different perspectives on the same event or object based on their unique backgrounds and circumstances. Lord, we ask you to come this morning, Holy Spirit, and speak your truth. God, help us from our perspectives of our life experiences and the things we have endured and walked through in our life to see truth, not just to see whether it's our pain or our hurt or our disappointment or whatever it is that we have walked through in life. Let us see and hear your truth today in Jesus' name. The Cambridge Dictionary defines perspective as this: your perspective is formed by what you know is true. If that is true, so then a moral perspective is based on what you know to be morally true. But what or who decides that truth? You? The world around you? The day of the week? The fact that you're having a good day? The fact that you're having a bad day? What then decides the truth that forms your perspective? Perspective has a Latin root meaning, to look through or to perceive, and all the meanings of perspective have something to do with looking. So ultimately, perspective is how you look at something and how you view something based upon your changing life experiences, your emotions, and even the biases of your life produce your perspective of right or wrong, of whatever it may be. So then a constantly changing world, a constantly changing life, constantly changing experiences and seasons in life that you're walking through are what's defining your perspective. And that's very dangerous shifting ground to build your life upon. The Word of God is the only truth that is called a rock. That is not shifting sand. It doesn't shift based upon our circumstances. It doesn't shift based upon the seasons of life that we're in or what we have walked through, what we have endured, or what may yet be to come. So then what determines your truth in life? Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the only way to God, and I am the real truth. And I am the real life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the only God amongst other gods out there who threw that gauntlet down and made that claim in the sand. Muhammad did not say, I am the truth. Buddha does not say, I am the truth. They have a lot of good thoughts and good ideas, but they do not claim to be truth. Jesus said, I am truth. Perspective and truth are related, but they're really distinct concepts. Truth is not subjective, and it's not influenced by our personal perspectives or biases. Truth is absolute. In the scientific context, there is empirical evidence that proves truth. Okay, I'm going to keep it real simple because I am not a science or math major, like we have talked about before. 2 + 2 will always be 4. I have 2 candies. I take 2 more out of my greedy grubbiness because I want more Reese's Pieces. I have now 4 Reese's Pieces. That is truth. That is scientific, empirical, proven truth. In the context of morality, it is said that truth can refer to principles that are universally considered to be right or wrong. But again, who establishes that right or wrong? Us? You, your parents, society, the classroom, the professor you just got sitting through 9 weeks of hating, okay? Who determines that truth? There is only one place you will find that truth. So if uncontrollable external factors can influence our perspective, you better make sure that the internal factors that say also influence your perspective that you can control is truth, and that truth is the truth of God's word. We're going to look at 2 little stories here today that I want to use to highlight this message. The first one is going to be, but before I get there, we're going to talk about Lazarus and we're going to talk about Peter walking on water. But before I get there, you know, one of the things that is really popular in our society today is the talk of your truth. You know, speak your truth. I have your truth and there's my truth. I'm going to be honest, I really hate that saying, tell your truth. Okay? Because the reality is we don't have our own truth. We have a story. We have life experiences that we have walked through that nobody can take that away from us. We have things that have happened to us in our lives. We have, like I said, life experiences that we have walked through. And the only truth is when we begin telling our story, telling our life experiences through the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done for our life, what he can do, then that story becomes a testimony. And that's where there's power. There is no power in you just telling your story and telling your perspective and spewing out your pain and spewing out your hurt. I'm not taking that away from anybody because we have all walked through hard, painful experiences in our lives. But the truth is, when you come to Jesus And you take that pain and you take that hurt and you take that disappointment and you line that up and you look at it through truth of what he says when he says, I make all things new in your life. I am the one who rebuilds the places long destroyed in your life, in your heart. In Isaiah, he says that. In Revelation, he says, I make all things new. Then your story then has power because it becomes a testimony. And Revelation says that one of the ways we defeat the enemy is by the testimony of our mouth. Then your story has power to change not only your life, but someone else's who hears it. One of the things about perspective versus truth, I love this. I love the example of the rainbow. And I know in our series of truth, we've talked about these different things and you've heard them in the past couple weeks with Pastor Ken and Pastor Ben. They've done such a phenomenal job, and Ron. But what I love about a rainbow is that it's an optical phenomenon. From our perspective, what do we see when we see a rainbow? We see color. We see color. But the truth is, we're seeing light. We're not seeing color. It is caused by the reflection, refraction, and dispersion of light in water droplets in the atmosphere. When sunlight passes through water droplets, it's refracted, it's bent, it's broken up. And it's reflected inside the droplets before being bent again as it leaves the droplets. This causes the light to be separated into its component colors, which are then visible to the observer as a multicolored arc. So from our perspective here on the ground, we're like, it's a rainbow and it's all colors and there's colors in the sky. When the reality is what we're seeing is light. So know that what you think you see in your life is not always what God is doing. What you think you see is not always what God is doing, and you need to have the truth of that. Let's go ahead and look at the story of Lazarus. This was a fun one. I was reading through this again, and I just had fun reading this story because of just bless their hearts, the sweet disciples, and how they react. Okay, so I'm going to just read some of it through it. I'm going to skip over some parts just for the sake of time. Now, a certain man named Lazarus was sick. We all know the story. He had two sisters, Mary and Martha, and they were all just buddies with Jesus. Jesus loved them. They loved Jesus. They hung out with him. And he got sick, and he was from Bethany. And it was the Mary who had anointed Jesus with oil. So they were all pretty close. So the sisters sent word to him, Jesus, saying, Lord, our brother and your friend whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard this, he said, first bit of truth he's going to start spitting out. This sickness will not end in death. But on the contrary, I'm reading from the Amplified Version. But on the contrary, it is for the glory and honor of God, so that the Son may be glorified by it. Now, Jesus loved and was concerned about Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You know, everybody was rattled. He knew that. But still, he stayed in the same place for two more days. So already, in our humanity, in our perspective, moms, oh, your baby is sick. Let's go. Everybody drop everything. Let's go. They're sick. They need me. Jesus is like, nope. We're going to wait two more days. Then he said to his disciples, so he stayed in the same place for two more days. Then he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. And the disciples were like, Jesus, Judea was the last place, one of the last places you were in where they tried to kill you. They were trying to stone you in Judea. Why in the world would we go back there? Okay. And Jesus said, he said this to them. I'm just jumping ahead a little bit. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. And I love the blessed disciples. Okay, they're like, Jesus, the one who they have seen do miracles, turn water into wine, bring fish into the nets, all of this. They're like, Jesus, common sense would dictate that if he's sick, let him sleep, okay, so he can get better. This is the disciples telling that to Jesus. I swear, I think Jesus was probably the first one who ever uttered the words, I can't with these people today. Okay? I think he was. And perfected, did have the perfect side eye. Okay? So the disciples were like, Lord, if he's asleep, leave him there so he can get better. And Jesus was like, Lord, help me. I can't with these people today. He goes, Lazarus is dead. Okay? Like he just had to come out and say it. He's like, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there so that you can believe. Let's go to him right now. So already they're like, and then Thomas at the end of when Jesus is done saying that, he's like, totally misses what Jesus is saying. And he's like thinking, okay, if we're going back to Bethany and Jesus is going to get stoned, we're going to die with him too. Totally misses that Jesus is like, we're going to go heal Lazarus. He's like, we're going to go die. So it's just, I think that was just funny how they're like a little bit clueless still on who Jesus is after everything they're seeing him do. So when they arrived, Jesus had found Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days at this point. So when Mary and Martha came out, they heard Jesus was coming, so they came out to him. And Mary remained at the house, but Martha came to Jesus, and you get the first glimpse of what her perspective is. Lord, if you had been here, it's too late. It's done. But I know that you're God, you're the Son of God, and if you had been here, that was her perspective. It's hopeless. It's done. It's a done deal. My brother would not have died, even now. But then she's like, this is how kind of back and forth and double-minded we can be when we're not truly holding on to the truth. Because then she goes, but even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. And Jesus looks at her and again, here comes truth. Your brother will rise. And Martha's like, I know he will rise from the dead in the resurrection on the last day. I believe, Lord. Okay, so she has like this faith, but her perspective, the pain, the hurt, the loss, the trauma of losing her brother, is giving her a very distinct perspective. And she's not able to hold on to the truth or even hear the truth that Jesus is saying right now. So Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me, trusts in or relies on me as Savior will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me as Savior will never die. Do you believe this? And Martha's like, yes, Lord, I believe. I continue to believe. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Savior. You're the anointed one. You're the Son of God. He who has destined and promised to come to the world, it is for you who we, I mean, she just starts confessing who he is, but still her perspective is wrapped up in pain and loss. After she said this, she called her sister Mary over. Mary, come on, come talk to Jesus. Mary comes, she says the same thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus saw their sobbing. And I love this part in the Amplified. He said, he was deeply moved in the spirit to the point of anger at their sorrow caused by death. So Jesus is not a savior that does not emphasize. He was angry that this is what death does. It brings pain and hurt to the ones that he loves. And it clouds our perspective when pain and hurt come from truth. He says, where have you laid them? Where have you laid him? So he goes over and he says, take away the stone. And Martha, who just literally said, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. There's nothing impossible for you to do. She goes, wait, don't roll it back. He has been dead for 4 days and it's going to stink. Don't do it, Jesus. Again, flopping and flipping back and forth based upon the circumstances she is momentarily in. Jesus said, did you not hear what I just told you? Did you not say that if you believe, did I not say that if you believe in me, you will see the glory of God? And then he goes on to perform one of his greatest miracles. Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me and listen to me. but I'm saying this basically out loud for everyone else standing around me so that they may believe you have sent me. And he calls Lazarus forth out of the tomb, and he comes out. So from the perspective of Mary and Martha, their brother had died, and there was nothing that could be done to bring him back. The grief was real, and it was all they could see in that moment. I've been there. From the perspective of the community, Lazarus was dead, and they all mourned, and his death was final. But from the perspective of Jesus, there is a different truth. He knew who he was, and he knew the power within him that God the Father had given him to raise Lazarus from the dead. And he saw the situation from a completely different light. While others only saw death and grief, Jesus saw resurrection and joy. In our lives, we will go through experiences that so cloud our perspective, that so want to keep us in that place of pain, that we lose sight of truth. My youngest brother died in a car accident at 19. I know that many of you know that. Him and his best friend were coming home from a party, and his best friend was driving drunk and went to pass the car in front of him and hit it and was pushed over into the lane of oncoming traffic. He was killed instantly, and the passenger of the oncoming car was killed instantly. That's how hard they hit. There was a very real tragedy, trauma, and pain that affected my life, that affected my mother's life and my entire family. We were never the same again. And there is a choice to stay in that perspective of loss, of tragedy, of hurt, of pain, or by God's grace, even if you're just holding on to the robe of Jesus, even if it's just one little inkling, holding on to truth, the truth that God, number one, only you are able to help me even bear up under this pain that is unimaginable. Can't even imagine it for my mother. Now that I have sons, I was pregnant with my second son, and my oldest son was 2 years old when that happened. You best believe God had to deal with me on certain things and remind me of truth when every single one of them has turned 19 and driving and out with their friends. You better believe there's some trauma that comes back and some fear and some anxiety where I'm like, oh, they're between the ages of 17 and 22. Let me just lock them in a padded room for the next 10 years and then I'll let them out. Like literally in my world, that's what I would do just so that I could have peace. I know they're safe. I know they're okay. I know everything. That's my perspective from fear and anxiety. But the truth is, right here in this word, Jesus said, I am your strong tower and your fortress. I am your shelter. I am the one who holds, who commands my angels to lift up your sons in their hands so that the bottom of their feet won't even strike a stone on the road. I'm the one who makes all things possible. In Isaiah, he says, is anything too hard for me? Yes, I have gone through some trauma. I have gone through loss and pain. But truth does not let my perspective stay there for the rest of my life. Truth gives me hope in the days when I'm discouraged. It gives me courage in the days that I'm fearful and anxious. It gives me life when I feel like things are dying inside of me. When my perspective is clouded by the shifting, changing things in my life, society, whatever's going on, truth does not waver and it does not falter. You know, it was funny because as Christians, I feel like sometimes this is very hard for us to grasp or we wrestle a lot with it, but even secular institutions really implement this principle. So my sweet little Noah, prom night, he got hit while dropping some friends off. he got hit by another driver. So there was damage to the front of our car, and there was no police report filed or anything like that. There's a couple of witnesses to what happened. And thankfully, this beautiful, sweet girl is like, Noah, I got you, because I saw what happened. That guy was in the wrong. But the good old auto insurance companies aren't coming to Noah and to Mr. Guy who hit Noah saying, tell me your truth. Tell me your truth. Okay, Noah, we're going to pay out and fix your car based upon your truth. And okay, Mr. Over Here driver, we're going to pay out and fix your car based upon your truth. Everybody has their truth and we'll pay according to that truth, to your truth. No. It's been 2 weeks and they're saying, we want to get to the truth. Secular insurance companies don't buy your truth. They don't buy my truth. They look for the truth. What happened? We want every camera. We want to interview all the witnesses. We want to know the truth. But it's something so hard for us to grasp. I love this one. When there is, like I said, when there is real pain and real loss that's clouding our perspective, God's word, his truth, has some very definite and defining things to say. That's the very thing we need to hold on to when the waves are battering up against our lives, when the storm is battering. I'm going to turn real quick, finishing up here. I want to tell the story of Peter. I love this one. Peter is probably one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Isaiah and Psalms are two of my favorite books. But I love Peter. So in Matthew 14, in verse 22, so the disciples are out on the boat, okay? Jesus, I think this is when they had just fed the 5,000. So Jesus is like, I need some time. You all need to go chill. We're all tired. Let's get some rest. So immediately after this, Jesus made the disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. Afterwards, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell, and while he was there alone, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble. Far away from land was a strong wind that rose, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on water. When the disciples saw this, they screamed in terror, thinking it was a ghost. I just think that's so funny because I probably would have done the same thing. But you know how it is, like when your siblings like try to scare you, you know, coming into a room and, you know, you like scream. I think that's how the disciples were. But Jesus spoke to them at once and he said, it's all right. I am here. Don't be afraid. Then Peter came to him. Okay, oh, bold, courageous Peter, I will die for you. I will do anything for you. And then denies him 3 times to children, okay? Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you by walking on water. So Jesus was like, all right, come on. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. You don't have much faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? And then they climbed back into the boat and the storm stopped. What happened there? Peter's perspective changed. He had his eyes on truth. He had his eyes on Jesus. There is nothing I can't do. I can walk on, I can do this. It's gonna be okay, no matter what's going on around me. We were scared, but I have my eyes on truth. I'm keeping my eyes focused on truth. The moment Peter went and changed his perspective, it rattled his faith. When he took his eyes off of truth and his perspective changed to his circumstances and what was going on around him. Peter took his eyes off Jesus, the truth, and he let his perspective of what was going on around him, the storm, the fear, the anxiety, the whatever, dictate the strength of his faith. And that's when he began to sink. And that is us too. In life, when we take our eyes off of truth and start looking, changing our perspective to what's going on around us, it affects our faith and causes us to start sinking. Just like Peter, we have to fight to hold on to truth in the face of fear, loss, pain, anxiety, the storms of life. Our perspective can cause us to lose sight of truth and cause our faith to falter. There was a Japanese artist, I was just looking up quotes on truth and kind of perspective, and I thought this was a really interesting one. He just said, truth is not what you want it to be. Truth is what it is, and you must bend to its power or live a lie. Again, that's a secular Japanese artist. Truth is not what we want it to be. Truth is the word of God, and ultimately you will either bend to its power or your life will be an entire lie. Of you thinking you're on steady ground, on strong ground, but you know what's going to test that? When the storms of life come, when things don't go your way, when the good, bad, and the ugly of life happens, what's your perspective going to be? Woe's me? You're wrong? That's this? That's that? Or is it going to be, truth tells me this is wrong. Truth tells me. Gives me perspective. I am more than conqueror. It's going to be okay. Yep, I had a bad day, got knocked down, but truth tells me I'm rising up again tomorrow. Truth tells me it's not right to treat somebody this way or that way based upon how God created them. Truth from his word. Not our truth, not their truth, not yesterday's truth, not next week's society, newsroom truth. Truth from the word of God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is only one moral standard of truth, and that is found in Jesus Christ and the word of God. And you can either submit to that and apply it to your life and watch it change and watch it give you power and watch it give you a testimony and watch it give you authority and watch it give you hope, or you can live in a lie and a deception and you can live a victim to your perception of your circumstances your entire life. There was an Anglican deacon, I'm going to close with this and one more scripture. He said, if Christ is not divine, every impulse of the Christian world falls to the ground. The central truth becomes a fable. Life becomes a chaos of contradictions. Morality becomes a matter of taste. John Henry Newman said that. Is that not our society today? Morality is a matter of taste. It is a matter of your perception based upon what you think. Versus truth. Isaiah 59 says this. 59:14-15 says, our courts oppose the righteous, and justice is nowhere to be found. Truth stumbles in the streets, and honesty has been outlawed. Yes, truth is gone, and anyone who renounces evil is attacked. That's in Isaiah. That sure does sound like our society today, because truth matters. Truth matters. Everyone wants their truth, but no one wants the truth. And it's the only thing that gives you the power to heal, to save, to live in victory, and to change your life. If you can walk away with two things, whoever wants to come up, yeah. If you want to walk away with two things, perspective is not always truth, and only through the lens of truth from God's word will you have a healthy and sound and solid perspective on life. Lord, we just thank you for this time. Father, it was Jesus in John 17 that when praying for his disciples when he was in the garden, He knew the power of truth. And he said, your word is truth, so make them holy by the truth. Help them to belong completely to you as they follow the truth, because your message is truth. That's John 17. That was the Easy English translation. But that's what Jesus prayed for us. And that's my prayer today for us, Lord. That truth, not just the perspective of our loss or the perspective of our pain or the perspective of our anger because we've been wronged, not the perspective that comes from unforgiveness or offense, not the perspective that comes from tragedy or trauma, but that the truth of your word would manifest real in our life and change our life to be a testimony. Revelation says three ways that the devil is defeated: the blood of Jesus Christ, not loving our own lives as to be afraid to die, and the power of our testimony. When we declare the truth of Jesus Christ intertwined in our life story, it doesn't become, oh, just our truth. It becomes our testimony. And there is power, and there is authority, and there is victory, and there is life. Help us to hold on and walk in your truth and let it bear fruit in our lives, that we may live the powerful testimony of Jesus Christ, that not only would it change and bless our lives, but that it would give God the glory and change the life of someone else. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer today, our prayer team will be up here. Moms, have a great Mother's Day. I hope you feel loved and celebrated. Hug your mama, and even if she is not here with you, hug your wife or hug your daughter or hug that woman who has been like a mama to you, even if it's just a friend. Okay? Y'all have a great day. Be blessed.